So last week, Krishna had told us that there are two aspects of our self, spirit and matter. Spirit being Om, the consciousness, and everything below that is the field of matter, what we call Prakriti and Purusha. So what is matter? The body with which I perceive the objects, the mind with which I feel the emotions, my intellect with which I think the thoughts, and the vasanas or the tendencies which propel me to act, all that is the field of matter, what we call Prakriti. And spirit is the Lord, the consciousness, which is in every one of us, causing us to act, but itself not acting. The Lord himself does not do anything, but gives us the energy to work, just as the sun does not do anything. The sun just provides the energy, and obtaining energy from the sun, I am able to plant. And one person plants a bitter gourd, you know, karela they call. Another person plants sweet mangoes. Now that bitter gourd gives a fruit in 1 year. The mango, he has to wait 10 or 12 years. And he says, oh, why do I have to wait 12 years? Why does this guy get the fruit in a year? That's the nature of mango. But then once you taste that karela, it's bitter. And he says, why do I get bitter fruit and my neighbor has sweet fruit? Depending on the seed you have planted, that is the fruit you will get. So whatever we get in our life, whether it's sweet or bitter, it is due to our karmas, due to our actions, which we plant as seeds, and then they result as the result of the action. And it could be good or bad, depending on my good or bad deeds. And again, the result may come right away, or it may come in a year later, may come 10 years later, may come in the next lifetime. We don't know when, but every karma brings the result. So one who thinks that the spirit and me are the one and the same, the BMI, the spirit and matter are one, Krishna says he is confused. We have to constantly distinguish between who this body, mind, intellect is, this ego, this perceiver, feeler and thinker, and what is the spirit that is illumining. It's like a person saying, well, electricity and bulb are the same. No, we know that electricity is different from the bulb. The gasoline in the car is different from the engine. But in the case of ourselves, we mistake the two and we do not distinguish between the Lord within and the ego. And so when I am working, if I am working as an egocentric individual, then I suffer the consequences. But if I am working as the divinity, which the saints and the prophets showed us, then my actions become divine. So that is the one constantly one has to remember, that I am not this BMI, this body, mind and intellect. I am not the perceiver, feeler and thinker. I am the spirit. And I am working in this world of objects, emotions and thoughts through my body, mind and intellect. They are my equipment. And once you do that, then you are able to work intelligently. Otherwise, your actions become egocentric, become selfish. And we'll talk about that a little more, about the ego. But that is the difference between a saint and us. A saint knows that I am that divinity. Jesus knew the Father in heaven and I are one. Shankaracharya told us, the Upanishads tell us, Swami Chinmayananda tells us, Buddha told us, but you and I, we are deluded because of our wrong understanding. So this chapter is meant to clear our understanding. And how do they do that? They will gradually elevate us from the lowest to the highest. In the next few weeks, we will see how our thinking can be elevated from tamas, which is the lowest, to rajas, which is activity, to sattva, which is purity. And that we'll be discussing in the next few weeks. And then from sattva, you go to the level of. So today we'll do verse number 17, which teaches us a little more about how to distinguish between the spirit and matter. So verse number 17, chapter 18. If anybody would like to buy the book, it's only $5. And this book will be useful for at least more than a year, because 18th chapter will take at least a year. So you are welcome to get it. And the Gita we are going to repeat again after 18th chapter. So this will last you 10 years. at least, because that's how long I think it will take me to finish the Gita again. So verse number 17. Yasya naham krito bhavah. Buddhir yasya na lipyate. Hatva pisa iman lokan. Nahanti na nibadhyate. Okay, so yasya. Yasya means for whoever that person may be, male or female, young or old, whoever that person is. Na aham krita bhavaha. He does not have this ego that I am the doer. Because that is from childhood we have been taught. You know, you are the doer. You have to do well. You have to succeed in your class. You have to be the best. You have to be the best businessman, the best lawyer, the best doctor, the best engineer. You have to be the do. And most faiths even talk about that, that you have to do good, you have to serve the world, you have to help, and that is good. But the Upanishads are the only one which take us beyond the doership. A lot of other teachings leave it at the level of the doership. You have to do well, you have to serve the world, you have to be an instrument of the Lord. That's very good. But they take us even beyond the doership, beyond the instrument, to who is doing. So na aham krita bhava. So this ego, a person who doesn't have, what happens to him? Buddhi yasya na lipyate. Then his mind is not contaminated or bound by good and evil, likes and dislikes. You know, I want this, I don't want this. This is my duty, this is not my duty. Whatever comes to him, he does or she does. And then he says, Hatvapi sa iman lokan. And these people who are warriors, because Arjun, what was Arjuna's problem? In the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was faced with a war where he had to actually fight with his, you know, uncles, his cousins, his grandfather, his teacher. And so he said, I do not want to stain my hand with the blood of these people, because even if I win the war, it will be useless for me, because I'll be killing so many of my near and dear ones. And Krishna tells him, the war is not between you and the enemy. The war is between good and evil. The ones who are on the other side, even though they are related to you, they are, you know, your friends, but they are have taken the side of evil, because Duryodhana, their king, was an evil king. And if he was allowed to win the war and rule, it would be like Hitler ruling over Europe. If Hitler had not been stopped, what would have been the condition of Europe today, you know, or over the next 10, 20 years? So similarly, that evil king had to be stopped, even though the people who were fighting were close to Arjuna. But at that time, Krishna tells him, this is war is not between you and them. It is between good and evil. And you are on the side of the good. And from childhood, you have been trained to be a warrior. And now it's an opportunity for you to fight. So it is your duty to pick up arms. So he says, Hatva pi sa iman lokan. Na hanti na nibadhyate. Even killing all these people, he does not kill. And he's not bound by his action. So that sounds very strange. He says, even though you kill, but you do not kill, what do we mean by that? It's a very interesting verse. So it will take me some time to hopefully cover it. But we can see how it goes. So that was Arjuna's problem. How am I to carry out this war, and will I not be subjecting myself to sin? Killing so many people, I'll live in hell for thousands of years and I'll be condemned and all that. And in the second chapter, Krishna, of course, has addressed this subject in more detail. Here he's doing it very briefly. As we said, the 18th chapter is a summary of the entire Gita. So here he says, as we said, there are two, spirit and matter. And we always have to be aware that the spirit and the matter are separate. They are not one, like electricity and light or bulb are separate. They are not one. Electricity is needed for the bulb. So the spirit is needed for me to function. Without the Lord's presence, without consciousness, I would not be able to walk and talk and so on. And this was beautifully illustrated in the example of Krishna and the gopis. You know, Ras is very popular all over India, especially in Gujarat. And the story goes that Krishna, you know, on a full moon night, he stood on the banks of the Yamuna and played his flute. And he played with such beauty that all the women of Gokul, they all left their homes, whatever they were doing. They were cooking or playing with it, and they were all so fascinated. They went there because that was a divine dance where Krishna played the flute and the gopis danced around him. And it was such a celestial sight, even the gods from heaven came to watch. So it was not a physical relationship. It was not. So that's why Gurudev says Krishna never danced. Even though later on people interpreted it, but actually Krishna never danced. Krishna was the spirit. He was the illumining consciousness. He played his flute, and because of the presence of the flute, the gopis around him danced. And because they were just maddened with that. So he says that a person who identifies with Krishna doesn't get tired, because Krishna never got tired. He just played the flute and he was there. But the gopis who were involved in the dance and enjoying, and they ultimately were exhausted because they were putting all the effort. So if I am identifying with the spirit and working in the world, I will not get exhausted. But if I say I am the BMI, I am doing so much, and people say, you know how hard I work, morning to night, I do so much, I'm, by the end of the day, I'm exhausted. Why am I exhausted? Because I think of myself as the doer, as I am doing it. It's for my, you know, children, it's for my wife, I work so hard for the business, for the company. But if I say that I am doing the Lord's work, and the Lord is working through me, I am not doing anything. It is my body, mind, and intellect are working, but I am one with the Lord. Then such a person has no fatigue. That's what Swami Chinmayananda, we have talked about so many times. He actually worked 20 hours a day. He slept only 3 hours at night. He would wake up at 3 o'clock and personally answer all the letters. And even when his heart was only working at 15%, he still was working that hard. He still was traveling, giving lectures. He was, why? Because he was not, he said, I don't do anything. Because I am, he was detached. He was able to identify with the Lord because he lived with that oneness. And then he says, my body, mind, intellect will work as long as my life is there. When it's not there, I'll just drop the body. He had no identification. He had no oneness with the body. He said, body is like my car. As long as my car keeps running 100,000 miles, 200,000 miles, I keep driving it. When it no longer runs, breaks down, I get rid of it and buy a new car. So he says, I'll drop this body. And so that is the life of the wise person. And for such a person, life is a game. Life is not serious, because you and I, we take life so seriously because I have to do it. Oh, it's so hard. It's so difficult. So many problems. But if you say, I am the spirit, I am just working in this world. Whatever job the creator has assigned me, I am doing. It's like cricket. You know, they say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. That's how the original thinking was. Now it is, you know, looking out for number one. It doesn't matter whether you cheat or whether you take drugs. You have to be number one. That's what we are seeing in the Olympics. You know, people are using drugs and everything to get better. So life is a game. That's what they say. Don't take life too seriously. And what we do is we take life too seriously. Take it as a natak, as a play. I'm here. Whatever job has been given me, whether Anil or Kusum or Satish, whether I'm male or female, young or old, whatever job I have been assigned, I just do it to the best of my ability, always remembering the Lord. And when it's time to drop the role, just as an actor, he's playing the role. When it's time to drop the role, he picks up a new role in a new movie. So that's how I'll do it. So when you do that, then you have no vasanas, because your actions are not selfish. See, you and I, when we act in the world, we act in a selfish manner. For me, myself, and I, you know, for me and my family. And so when you do that, you create more vasanas, more selfish tendencies. But a person who is dedicating all activities to the Lord, for him, there is no vasanas. Whatever he does as karma yoga. See, there are three ways to serve the Lord, or three ways to work. One is you say, I'm doing karma yoga with my body. I'm serving the world, like Mahatma Gandhi. I'm just here to serve. That's it. Mother Teresa. They had no ego that who I am doing it is happening through me. So that is one path. Other path is path of love, like Mirabai or Narsi Mehta or Tukaram and all, where they say, I love God. And so out of love, they sang and they, you know, they worked for God. So that is path of love. And then the third is path of Swami Chinmayananda, Shankaracharya and all, the path of knowledge, where they say, I am the self and my BMI is working because of that. So in all the three cases, there is no ego. In the first one, he says, I'm servant of the Lord. Second one says, I love God. God works through me. And the third one says, I'm not even working. So in all of them, there is no vasanas. And it is vasanas that cause all the problems. Because when I have vasanas, I have desires. I want this. I want that. I want this and this also. I want my property and my neighbor's property and my next business. And that takes away all your peace. Because why do we have no peace? Because I have too many desires. Again, we are not saying that one should not be successful in your school or in your profession, but it should be not out of a selfish greed. I should become successful so I can be serve the world better. That is, if I'm poor, if I'm a beggar, how can I give to the world? I have to earn so I can share. I have to study. I have to be successful so I can have a career to serve the world. So peace can only come when there is lack, no selfishness. Talking about peace reminds me of a story. I had told it on Thursday class. So those who were here, I would like to apologize. But it's a very interesting story. So there was this journalist who was assigned to Jerusalem. And he was covering the Arab-Israeli war. And so he woke up in the morning in his hotel. And his hotel was across from the Wailing Wall. You know, there's a Wailing Wall in Jerusalem where you go and pray. And it is supposed to fulfill all your wishes. They say whatever you pray, your wishes get fulfilled. So he was standing there and this old man came around, must be in his 80s, and he stood for 45 minutes and he was praying at the wall. And so as he was leaving, so the journalist asked him, sir, what were you praying for? He said, I have been praying for peace between Arabs and Israelis. May there be peace. May our children play together. May there not be terrorism. That's what I have been praying for. He said, how long have you been doing that? He says, for 60 years, every day I come, I stand here for 45 minutes. I pray for peace. So journalist says, how does it make you feel? He says, I feel like I'm talking to a damn wall. So peace is there only if you are working for the others. If as long as you are working for yourself, you can never have enough. I can never have enough money, enough power, enough clothes, enough jewelry, enough. Why? Because it is I. But when I am doing for the others, for the world, then there is a state of contentment. And then he says, how can I work without ego? You know, the problem is I am the doer or I am not the doer. You know, that becomes the issue. And like we said, we are taught from childhood, do, accomplish, work, get. So how? Let us look at some examples of how a person can work without ego. And even though killing will not be killing. So example is like a murderer and a soldier. Now there is a killer who is going through town. You know, we find these serial killers who go in the middle of the night and kill people and shoot them. Or they want to either steal money or, you know, whatever they want to do. So he goes and 8 or 10 people he kills over the months and years. Finally, he gets caught. Now there is another soldier who also is killing. But he's killing in the battle and for his country. He has killed 40 or 50 other enemy soldiers. Now that murderer gets, if he gets caught, he gets jailed, he gets sentenced, maybe even to the death. But a soldier gets honored. He gets the Purple Heart, he gets the, you know, Paramveer Chakra or whatever, the honor. Why? Because single-handedly he fought against the whole enemy group and he stopped them from coming and saved so many of his comrades, like that. Hassan, that Khan, that one, you know, who was with the Trump who had the problem. It is said that there was a whole group of people coming and he sacrificed his own life to save his brigade and he was given a Purple Heart for that. So the same act, when it is done by a murderer, he gets put in jail and a soldier gets honored. Why? Because the murderer is doing it for me, soldier is doing it for the country. He said, I'm not doing, I have no personal enmity with those. But because my country needs me, so that is the difference. But the same action, you know, the murder or killing is the same, gun is the same, everything. But the result is different. So the murderer creates more vasanas, more selfishness. But the soldier actually dissolves his vasanas because he's working for a higher cause. Without I and my, and he evolves. Then another example is husband. Now, husband is not the criminal. There's two separate, husband and criminal. Don't think I'm calling husband the criminal, but anyway. So husband is like, okay, husband and wife are peacefully sleeping at night in deep sleep. Now, in his sleep, husband has the habit of kicking his legs. You know, some people do. And he kicks and he gives one hard kick to his wife in the ribs. Oh, she wakes up in severe pain. And she's angry, right? Because the kick was there and she was hurt. And she looks and she wants to start yelling at the husband. But the husband is fast asleep. He's sleeping like a newborn baby. He turns around and sleeps on the other side. He didn't intend to kick. But that was his habit. He just happened. Now, whom can she get angry at? Whom can she? Because the person who was kicking was not there. The husband did not kick with the idea of hurting, but just happened. So what can she do? Just take her blanket and go sleep on the couch or go sleep in the other room. She can't yell at him. She can't shout at him. Same way in a criminal, like these criminal defense attorneys are very good at this. You know, they'll say, Your Honor, my husband client came home and what did he find? He found his wife with another man. And his mind was so full of anger and jealousy. And at that time, he was not himself. He wasn't thinking. He went and took a gun and shot them both. So he was insane. So by reason of insanity, he should be freed. Even though he has murdered two people, but he was not himself. Because, Your Honor, if you had been there, you would have done the same thing. So that's how criminal attorneys. So the point is that if the person is not there, the person is not in his senses. So an action, you know, done under, like, that's why we tell people when we sedate them, do not drive today. Because if you drive, then you are not, it's as if you're doing drunk driving. And then, of course, a drunk driver, of course, cannot get away by saying, you know, Your Honor, I was drunk, I didn't know, because that's against the law. But the point is that if a person is not involved in the action, is just a witness, is not, then he does not commit the sin. The sin is committed by somebody who deliberately works, does the wrong thing, but a person who's not involved. That's why they say, the Upanishad says, I am not the doer. That we have to understand. I am not the doer. I am not the doer. I am not the doer. That has to become firm. And that's what we practice in meditation when we meditate on Thursday night when we learn and then at home. In your meditation, we teach people how to separate the BMI from who I really am. And that's what, you know, this Shankaracharya ji also said, Mano Buddha Hankar Chittani Naham, you know, Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the intellect, I'm not the ego, I'm not the sense organs, I'm not the organs of action, but I am the pure spirit, Shiva, functioning in the world. So when you can bring that into, it does not mean that the person does not work. When he say, I am not the doer, means it's not that he's not working. He's actually working more efficiently because you and I, when we work for me, myself and I. But the wise man works for the benefit of the whole society. So his actions are purer, his actions are wider, and they affect a lot more people. So he actually does a better job because the ego is not there. And that is the beauty of this particular verse, that when you are working in the world, do not only work for I or my, but work for the Lord. I am a servant of the Lord wherever I have been placed. I'm doing his work or her work. And if you worship the mother goddess, whatever, the Lord is working through me, and whatever the result happens, it is his. It's not mine because I am not doing anything. God is working through me. So then, and not only that, but this, his actions become very powerful. Like the example they give, like of an ambassador. Now there is a person named John Stevens, right? And he's an ordinary person. He is working as a, you know, but he helps the president in his election. So that when the president gets elected, he says, John Stevens, I'm appointing you ambassador to England. Now John Stevens was an ordinary individual going to work and running his business. Suddenly he gets appointed ambassador of the United States to England. Now what happens? From ordinary John Stevens, he now is representing the United States of America. He's representing a big country. Not only that, when he makes a statement, previously if John Stevens went to England and spoke, nobody would even care. But now when he makes a statement, the media covers it, the TV covers it, and this is what the United States policy is on this issue. So suddenly he now becomes a very powerful individual. The person is the same. But his title has changed because he's not only working for him or his company, he's representing the whole United States. So when a man of realization works as an instrument of the Lord, he's not working for himself, he's working for the Supreme, the All-Powerful, who is million times powerful than the United States, billion times, you can't even compare. So the power that is behind them, that's why these great saints, even though in their lifetime, they didn't, you know, like Buddha, how many people did he influence? 200, maybe 500, maybe 1,000. Now there are 2 or 3 billion Buddhists in all countries of the world. Christ, how many people did he talk to? Maybe a few hundred. But now there are so billion Christians. Why? Because they had the Lord with them, so their actions become more powerful. So it's not that when he says, I am not the doer, does not mean I am not doing, but I am not doing. The ego is not working. The Lord is working through me. So I am an instrument. And that's why Krishna says in the 11th chapter, it's very beautifully, he said, Maye nihata purvam eva nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. O Arjuna, left-handed warrior. These people you see, Drona, Bhishma, Karna, they already have been killed by me. The time has already come. I have already decided that these evil people will no longer be living. At the end of these 18 days of war, all these people will be gone. The time is already ended. I know that. See, the Lord knows the time of birth and death. So Arjuna, you have a choice. Either you can be my instrument and get the glory. Oh, you won the war and you did a great job and you can become the king, you know, of a noble empire. Or you can run away, which he wanted to do. He wanted to run away to the forest and meditate. You can do that, and then, yeah, you will be meditating, but you will not be happy because you haven't done your duty. You will be all the time regretting, you know, I should have done that. So the choice is yours. Do you want to be my instrument and get the glory, or do you want to run away and be called a coward? You know, he was a coward. He came to the battle, Arjuna, the great warrior. The soldiers will say, you know, I looked at him with my eye and he ran away. You know, even some ordinary foot soldiers will make fun of you. That's what Krishna tells him in the second chapter. So everything has been decided. But, you know, that our date of birth, death, a lot of things have been decided. Our choice is how to live the life that has been assigned to me. The choice is only that. Life is limited. Nobody is going to live forever. You might live 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. But sooner or later, the body will give out and you will be gone. So your choice is that the time I have, do I make this world a better place or do I live like an ordinary animal, burn on and die? There is a very beautiful song. The words slip me. If it comes to me, I'll tell you. But it says, Mausam bita jai, apni kahani chhod ja, kuch to nishani chhod ja, aage tu fir aaye na aaye. Apni nishani chhod ja. He says, when you have come over a limited amount of time, leave a mark on the world. Do something that the people will remember you by. Don't just live an ordinary life of birth and death. And okay, I lived, I had children, I died. But even animals do that. Even birds and fish do that. If you are truly a human being, mausam bita jai, time is very limited. Time is passing. Your life is limited. While you are here, leave a mark. Help others. Make this world a better place. Then only your life is worthwhile. Otherwise, you come, you're born, you buy a big house, you business and you die, you're still the same. You have not accomplished anything. You can only accomplish by serving others or by reaching God. That is what is the... So that is what a man of realization does. And people say, this seems very hard. You know, are there men like that in the world who can work and still not be attached and not say, I am not the doer? Well, Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda is a prime example. I talked about him so many times. He spent his whole life working for all of us. Samasta jana kalyana, you know, we chant niratam karunamayam namami chinmayam devam sadgurum brahma vidvaram. He worked for the benefit of all. Samasta jana kalyana, constantly, his whole life, including up to his last breath. He said, I'm going to die with my working boots on. That was his idea. He said, I intend to work till my last breath, and which he did. He kept teaching. So there are people who do that. And so you and I can learn from them. So for them, the relative and the absolute are one and the same. What is relative? Relative is this world, which is a changing world. You know, I am changing, you are changing, this world is changing, trees are changing, animals, plants. And then there is one absolute within me that is not changing, that is the Lord. So for them, they can combine the two. While you and I, we only work at this relative level. And so that is the difference between us and the realized master. So that is the essence of this verse, that do it, but without the sense of I and my, but as a humble instrument of the Lord. And then whatever actions you do, there are no vasanas, there is no negativity. Then also your action, they'll say, oh, then can he go around killing? He won't. He'll do what is good. He'll do what is right. When one is identified with the Lord, your actions have to be pure. You cannot be doing impure actions. You cannot become a gangster or a smuggler or a drug dealer. No, because the Lord is working through me, my actions will be pure. So that is the essence of this verse. Any questions, any comments?
Struggle with what they encountered when they were fighting on the battlefield. So how do you make sense of that?
So I think her question is that a soldier, even though he's fighting for the country, you know, he comes back with so many psychiatric problems, PTSD and all. And I think that's, again, because they have not understood. They still think, I am doing. When I am doing, then I am suffering the consequences. I fought and I killed the person and then I saw that happening. Because he's still not understood. But if he truly understands the goal, that at this moment my country needs me and I'm working for the country, and if he's able to intelligently detach himself, then his mind will not be that much affected by what is happening. The reason is because they have not understood the reason why they are there, or they disagree with the war, like people who were sent to Vietnam, were drafted, and they disagreed. They didn't want to go there, but they were forcefully sent. Now there, when he's a person is unhappily there, then the war will be very stressful for him. But if he says, I'm doing it for the country needs me, and I'm not even fighting, you know, it is not me, it is the country that is fighting through me, then he won't have that much problems, I think. Yes.
So it sounds as though the spirit that's inside of us, it is pure, but that's where all of our vasanas are.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think you have understood the verse correctly, but the commentary, but I'll be happy to explain it. When he says the spirit is conditioned, the spirit itself is not conditioned. The person, each and every one of us is the spirit. We are the Holy Spirit. We are not Anil or Barbara. Those are our names. But we're neither male nor female, neither young nor old, neither short or tall. We are all the Holy Spirit. Taking on this body and this ego, this perceiver, feeler, and thinking and working in the world. And we have come for whatever reason. You know, that's another long story why we came. But anyway, we are here. So what happens is, even though I am the spirit, I think myself to be this ego. And it is due to my wrong understanding, my ego comes in there. And so the spirit in me, even though I am the spirit, I forget that. And I, with my ignorance, start working as an ego, and that is the one that is getting contaminated. The Lord is never contaminated. He's never affected. He's totally blemish-free. If the Lord was the doer, then the Lord would get the result of the actions, right? According to the karma theory. So if he did good deeds, he would get good result. He did bad deeds, he would get bad result. then he would be born again to fulfill those karmas. Nothing of that happens. The karmas don't affect him. Then he would be an ordinary man like you and us. So the Lord is not affected. The spirit is not contaminated. It is me not understanding my role as a spirit, functioning as the ego. I am contaminating. My own spiritual nature, I am contaminating. It is me, not the Lord. He is not contaminated. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhagbhave. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.